Om Shanti. So in today's chapter of Gita, we'll be seeing the ninth chapter, which teaches us the skills, or we can say the art, of how to rule the kingdom of ourself. Not rule upon anybody else, because this is what we have been normally doing. We can try to control others, we can try to dictate others, we can try to rule others, advise others what they should be doing, what they should not be doing. But when it comes to the self, we find it very difficult to control our own self. So how yoga can help us attain that mastery? And here the opening of a very great deep secrets of soul, supreme soul, has been done in this chapter. From verse 1 to verse 6, topic of knowledge along with its influence. From verse 7 to verse 10, topic of the beginning and the end of the kalpa, the world cycle. Verse 11 to verse 15, people with divine activity and devilish activity. Verse 16 to verse 20, the comparison of God amongst all as the highest form. From verse 21 to verse 25, the fruit of positive and selfless worship. And from verse 26 to verse 34, the praise of altruistic devotion of God. And he gives us a very powerful insight of how we can surrender the mind onto him by giving this mantra of man manabhav. So we find that yesterday also, and from chapter 7, we have been seeing in different ways the reality of the Supreme Being. Till 6 chapters, he was explaining about the soul and karma yoga, sannyas yoga, dhyana yoga. But from verse 7, the reality of the Supreme Being, because we have all tried to know him, but we have still not known him fully. So we have lot of assumptions also about God. And in various ways, as people felt they have realized him, accordingly they started describing about God. This is why on the topic of God, there is lot of confusions in the world. Although everybody is trying to point out to that one only, they say that he is the highest on high, he is the supreme being. But nobody has the actual realization of that. I would like to illustrate this with a small point, that when we go to some town and where nobody knows us, seeing some newcomer, the people of that town or that village, they start assuming on the basis of the features, maybe this person has come from this part of the country, the person may be like this, so many assumptions. But until and unless I do not give my true introduction myself, people will be just assuming about me. So similarly, we have been assuming about God. He should be like this, he should be like that, and so many opinions thus came out, which started contradicting and creating a lot of confusion and chaos. And finally, when we have so many opinions, we don't know which is the exact truth. So that is why God also claims that when I descend, I reveal my true form, how I am. So till then, we are just assuming. So in these chapters, from 7th chapter onwards, in various ways, he is trying to tell Arjuna the reality of his form. But he does not give everything at once, because that might confuse Arjuna also. And the human beings of this world. So he gives as we go on absorbing. The more we can absorb, the more he opens up. And then we are able to perceive and visualize that actual form of God. So in this chapter, he says to Arjuna, "Hey Arjuna, I will speak about this great deep knowledge along with its science. This knowledge is the king of all education. It is deeper than all deep secrets. This knowledge is highly pure as it bestows the practical understanding of self-realization. It is a role model for all religions. This can be inculcated permanently and with a lot of happiness." So the praise about the wisdom that he is going to share with us. And except God, nobody can share that deep secret. We human minds, we can know about this world, maybe about the cosmos, not beyond that. We remain, our understanding remains within these five elements of nature. We have explored the skies, the space. We have explored the seas. And we went right down, but we were not able to explore our own self. It was easy for human beings to reach the moon and stars, maybe, but is not able to reach the secret of elevating his own character. And having the realization of that eternal self. And that is why when he reveals this, we are trying to match that understanding which we possessed till today with the understanding that we are now getting. In the initial stage, it will create a confusion because they are not able to get in alignment. They are not able to be harmonized. But gradually, as he is revealing, we'll see that eternal form, that is with the third eye of wisdom, not with this physical eyes. And again he says, "I am a bodiless entity. I do not have a body of my own. My working style is divine. I do not function like you human beings. Whatever things have been created are not within me. The entire creation of the world is not within me. I am the sustainer of all the conscient living beings, all the souls. These actions don't bind me, as I am unconditionally stable and constantly free from desires. So they do not bind me." Human beings, whatever action they do, it binds them into bondage, because it is done out of weaknesses, attachment, desire to attain something, so it binds them. But because he is unconditionally stable and constantly free, he does not need anything, he is free from desires, so it does not bind him. I am not a part of this great presentation, but I am the source of all creation. Now, such lines seem to contradict. Because of our understanding, all these years which were within these five elements of nature. So, I am not a part of this great presentation, but I am the source of all creation. Of the entire world, I create the movable and immovable world through the authority of my vibrations. Creation does not mean how we create. Many a times we start understanding things from our level of understanding. And we feel, if I do like this, that means he must be also doing like this. No. That's why in the beginning only he has said, my working style is different. I do not work and function as you do. So don't compare me with you. His working style is different. So he is the source of the creation of the entire world. I create the movable and immovable world through the authority of my vibrations. It is just a vibration that he can create, and those vibrations can create so many things. This world cycle keeps spinning. It is a constant moving world cycle. It keeps on spinning. And this is why the time cycle moves. Then he says, hey Arjuna, at the end of the kalpa, end of the cycle, the time cycle, all attain a nature like me. Just as God is beyond all the desires, physical desires of this world, or even subtle desires, divine desires, similarly we also become like him. What yesterday we saw, when we start traveling through the path of light, then we attain a nature like him, and that is when we are able to understand how he is functioning, how he functions in the world. Or become like me. They do not become God. We souls are separate from God. So that he says, just like a child, a son, who is so worthy, he is just like the father. He starts working like the father. He looks after the father's business. His ways and acts are just like the father. But when he goes in front of the father, he still remains a child. That does not mean he has become the father. Nobody can become the father of the self. Yes, he may bring up the younger brothers and sisters also like a father. But whenever property matters come, even the younger brothers and sisters would say, we respect you as our father, but you are not our father. Remember that. They cannot also accept him as the father. Similarly, we also become like the Supreme in nature. He is all loveful. He is all powerful. He is blissful, happy. He is the ocean of these qualities. And I become the embodiment of these qualities. And in that way, I become like the Father in my nature. Eternal qualities. And in the beginning of the kalpa, I again create them in a special way. Because the soul is eternal, how can you create that which is eternal? The soul is imperishable, immortal. So how can you create that which is immortal? So, when he says, I again create them in a special way. Special way means, when we go through that path of light and rest in that supreme abode, we are like in a silent form. We do not think at that time. The thoughts, the mind is not functioning, the intellect is not functioning, the sanskaras are not functioning, everything is merged. And we are like a powerful seed just in that supreme region. So when the new kalpa, the new time cycle begins, at that time he awakens the awareness. And when the awareness is awakened, that means the creation, and he sends them, gives them the vibrations to go down. Give them that inspiration through vibrations to go down to play their role. So this is how he creates them. So the creation does not mean that they were all merged in that ocean or something like that, and then he again makes them parts. No. The soul is eternal, immortal, indivisible, indestructible. So the mind, intellect and sanskaras, they just get merged. And when it is in the merged form, so he creates means, in a special way, means he awakens that consciousness again and gives them the inspiration through vibrations to go down. His language is not like the language that we speak. He speaks through vibrations. And the vibrations are so powerful, when the intuition is working, we are able to catch those vibrations. Which sometimes in the life we have this experience. In the morning hours especially, when we are sitting in a relaxed form, and suddenly something flashes. But we don't understand exactly. During the day when that incident takes place, immediately we recall, it has flashed me in the morning, but I was not able to understand it. So those flashes that we experience in form of intuition, we get the vibration also. Something is going to happen. We realize that, but because we are not used to understanding the language of vibrations, we are not able to catch those vibrations. So this is what the Supreme means of how he awakens that consciousness, means he creates them and gives them the vibration to go to the world to play their roles in the Krati Yuga, in the golden age. That is, the soul is eternal. So creation here refers to soul awakening. The awakening of the consciousness. The awakening of that light. Igniting that light within. So if that is the form of creation, what he says. And then he says, I inspire for the kalpa. This whole world cycle which is moving, that is created through the inspiration of God. So I inspire for the kalpa. And that is why this whole creation, the play, the drama that is on the stage, which is going on, and everybody's role, that is also the most perfect and accurate role. There can be nothing more perfect than this. Everything is so perfectly designed. So, sometimes we feel upset. But that feeling of upsetness is because I'm not able to understand the drama as it is. But when I'm able to immediately understand why this is happening, the sequences, then we start realizing how beautiful this creation is. The creation of that Supreme is perfect in its way. There can never be anything more perfect than this. This is the deep realization that we receive. So kalpa means elevated transformation. So I inspire for that elevated transformation. That is the end of Kali Yuga and the beginning of Golden Age. That middle period, which is the period of transformation, how does it take place? So it is that time when God has to descend and inspire for that transformation. Just as I mentioned the other day also, that a dark night transforming into a golden dawn. If somebody would sit whole night to watch how the dark night changes into the golden dawn, they don't realize, because it's a gradual process. And we don't even realize when the dawn, how it comes out and when the sun came out. The same thing, that this time cycle, when the Kali Yuga is in its end period, so the night is about to end and the golden dawn is to begin, that middle period. So to make human beings worthy to go into that world, the great transformation has to take place. The world is full of viciousness. So how would he transform? So the transformation also is through his inspiration. It reminds me of a beautiful incident, that when our chief administrative head, she went to United States, and there was a scientist meet there. She met with some scientist who had asked her various questions about spirituality and what spiritual science is. In the end, our chief administrative head, Dadi Prakashmani, late Dadi Prakashmani, she asked them only one question. And she asked them, what comes in your mind that you think of creating these missiles? There must be some thought coming in your mind that makes you drive in that direction and you make a missile. So what thought comes in your mind to create these missiles? Everybody was silent, because they never thought. What thought comes in our mind? Then finally one scientist answered this question, and he said, when we begin our research, we do not have this aim of creating a missile. We want to create something which can be useful for mankind. We visualize that future when the resources will be over. Now if petrol is over, how will the human beings function without petrol? All cars stop, all vehicles stop. Will this world come to a standstill? There is so many things that are moving with that energy. So we feel we should do a research into the nuclear energy, so that if the resources are over, this nuclear energy can be of use to keep the human life running, to keep the modern advancements running. So when we do a research, we are doing with that aim. But sometimes we have this feeling, as if somebody is inspiring us. And that inspiration, when it is driven into our research, comes out with something which is more destructive. And we finally, when we see that this has come into some, it is going towards the beginning of a destructive weapon, after that we cannot do anything. So we do not have this thought of creating a missile. We never had this thought. we wanted to use that nuclear energy for creative purposes so that human life does not come to a standstill. But when the product comes out, that is beyond our control. So sometimes we have this feeling as if somebody is moving our minds or controlling our minds through inspiration, which common people do not understand maybe. How he is creating this transformation also through inspiration. He is driving those minds also. So God's plan is unique. Sometimes very difficult for us to conceive in our minds, because his level of working, his style of working is divine. He does not come into that bodily form to perform the task physically like us. So his style is unique. And this he has clearly mentioned in Gita of how he functions. Provided we take our consciousness level to that subtle level, from the gross level or the physical level, and then we will understand how he works. How his works are divine. It means whenever the soul starts experiencing its divine sanskaras, the kalpa begins. So when the complete transformation in the sanskars is there, nowadays we find people, before we find that some years back, people were a lot of corrupted minded, polluted minded. But today's young generation, we see the awareness in them that they are able to talk about values. Some are such beautiful children, they have such divine qualities in them that the elders also, they are astonished the way they function. So that means that transformation had been taking place. In the previous life maybe, the sanskaras were becoming divine. Now when they have come into the next life, they start working, functioning on the basis of that divine sanskaras. So this is how the confluence is going on. Somewhere we see extreme of impurities, and somewhere we see divine thoughts coming up. Why are people drawn towards spirituality? More than religion, they are drawn towards spirituality. Why? Why are those spiritual gurus flourishing in the world? That means a revolution is coming. When the industrial revolution took place, more and more industries were coming up. More and more people were joining that. The blind faith was removing. They were coming out and they were indulged in that. And there was a change. When science started advancing, we came out of that times and the human mind became like a computer. Who created this computer? It is human mind only. So you can see the works that are done by the mind and the way the minds are changing. And now from the computer age also towards spirituality. Again, it is a silent revolution coming in the minds of people. They would like to be more spiritualized than stay in those boundaries of religion. So why this awakening is there? This is also a transformation. And this is also an inspiration of the Supreme, which is driving them to that divine source, which is trying to, where they are trying to absorb that divine power within them, so that they are able to transform themselves completely. And whenever it attains the feelings and experience of being equal to God, then it is the end of the kalpa, in which there is transformation of body, time and the age, from iron age to golden age. The time is transferred and the body also gets transferred. This body is made up of the impure five elements of nature. But when the time gets transformed, the golden age is there, we get a body which is known as Kanchan Kaya of the deities. So everything starts changing. This process of change, some can realize, spiritually elevated can realize. But those who are not at all spiritually ignited, hardly they can realize. And they are so much into that materialistic world only. Their level of functioning is at a very gross level, superficial level, at the physical level only. But those who are spiritually ignited, there is an awakening within them, they are able to understand the works of the divine, how the supreme style of working is in this world. And that is why he had said in the fourth chapter, yada yada hi dharmasya. When does he descend and how does he work? For that he says, I need the exact time to be here. And before that time he cannot come. He has to come at that time. And it is at this time only that we find there is so much of irreligiousness in the world. And then he says, when I incarnate in a human form, very clearly stating, when I incarnate in a human form, the foolish ones ridicule me. They mock at the Supreme also. They do not know my divine form as God, because they are addicted by devilish nature of attachment. And then the question which arises in Arjuna's mind is, then who knows that you have come in this form? Those who live liberated from attachment, in divine activity, they recognize my eternal immortal form and remember me with special loveful feelings. Again and again he is saying, those souls, they have special loveful feelings towards God. They make effort to remain the embodiment of yoga with a lot of determination every day. They are very determined in that thought. And every day they become the embodiment of yoga, the form of yoga, and they are able to know him accurately. So to know the Supreme is not an ordinary task. How he is, how he functions, how he does his activity, gradually he is opening up the secrets. He has to take the form of a human body only to function definitely, because otherwise how will he be realized by human beings? How would he introduce himself? Just by those vibrations, we are not in the position to catch those vibrations. We don't understand that language of vibrations. So that is why, just to make human beings understand him as he is, he takes the support of a human body, explains them in the voice, but not a voice like us, and he makes them realize about the divinity and then he leaves. The incarnation does not mean that he is always there 24 hours. No, he comes, performs his task and leaves. He does not come in the bondage of the body. He does not come in the attachment of the body like we souls. Then he says, Those who study knowledge, those who contemplate, those who study the knowledge, drink the nectar of knowledge and perform yajna service, that is the purification. Purify their sinful actions and are born in the pure land of heaven where they enjoy the bliss of the status of a deity. How they get transformed. But those who do service of purifying themselves and purify their sinful actions, they are born in the pure land of heaven where they enjoy the bliss of the status of a deity, a divine being, like Sri Lakshmi and Sri Narayan. How did they attain that status? How did they become Narayan? Definitely in their previous birth, they must have performed such actions. Then they get that birth as a fruit, whom we worship as the gods and goddesses. And then he says, but when their charitable actions get worn out, they again come down to this land of death, that is Kali Yuga. In this way, they continue to come into the cycle of life and death, birth and rebirth. So whether they are divine beings, deities, or whether they are human beings, everybody has to come in this cycle of birth and death. It is only one supreme who is beyond this cycle of birth and death. That is why he is supreme, ever constant in his qualities, and he is a unique personality. Those who meditate on my divine form with lot of special loveful feelings and constantly remember me, I fulfill all their needs and I protect them as well. They experience the protection of God. Because they meditate on him with loveful feelings without any selfishness, and God takes their responsibility and fulfill their needs. Each and every thought they have in their minds is fulfilled by God because they do not have any devilish thoughts. Such is the stage that they have reached. They have divinized their sanskaras through self-realization. And then he says further, those who are not aware of my real form, on the basis of the knowledge and remember me in the form of deities, looking for God in the divine beings, in the deities, due to ignorance but worship with a lot of faith, are born in amidst of those deities. So the deities and supreme are separate. Those who worship their ancestors reach their ancestors, and those who worship ghosts and wandering souls go in the midst of them. The depths of karma philosophy. Whomever we remember, accordingly we will go amongst them. Today we find, still in the world, there are people doing so much of black magic, invoking ghosts, invoking wandering souls to get their task done in an impure way. But they do not understand the depths of karma, that when they leave their body, they will go into that wandering souls only, where others will also use them, as they have used other wandering souls. And those who worship the ancestors, they go towards them. Wherever they have taken birth, they go to them. And those who worship divine beings as God, out of ignorance, they go near them. So this is how we see the bhakti also in the world is sattvic, rajasic and tamasic. Those worshipping the or invoking the wandering souls is tamasic bhakti. It's not bhakti actually. It's tamasic. The most impure form of getting that task accomplished. And then he says, "Hey Arjuna, whatever is offered to me, either fruit, flowers or anything with faith, whatever gross things, superficial things is also offered to me, I accept it. Because the faith is seen by God. God does not see what we are offering. He sees the faith in the hearts. I accept it. So Arjuna, whatever worship you perform, surrender it to me. When there will be complete sacrifice, then you will become the embodiment of yoga and get liberated from the bondages of the action." So that's why, since beginning in bhakti, the period of bhakti also, the first temples that were constructed in India were the temples of Shiva, 12 Jyotirlingams, whom the deities also worshipped. So they were the first original temples that were built in India, whom Sri Ram also worshipped, Sri Krishna also worshipped. So the most ancient temples are those. Afterwards, we started making temples of those who worship Shiva also, Sri Ram and Sri Krishna. We started making their temples. And today we find in the world there are so many temples of great souls also, who have just been some years back, whom we also have seen with our physical eyes, and today we see their temple is being constructed. So this is how, when in the Copper Age those souls descended, they also recollected the memories of the divine beings and they constructed their temples. But they forgot the original supreme, whom the deities also worshipped. That was forgotten. And we started worshipping them. And today in the world we find people are worshipping human beings as gods, and who claim themselves to be gods. And people are so much having faith in them. They never claimed to be gods, but human beings started preaching about them as gods. This is the greatest part that we see in today's generation. And people do not even logically ask, how can he be God? How can we make a temple of him? No. And then further in the 10th chapter, the expansion of the divine personality, Vibhuti Vistar Yoga, the unlimited praise of the infinite truth, all the miraculous incidents exhibiting physical power, beauty, prosperity or excellence, whether they are formed from this world or the spiritual world, they are the expressions of God's divine personality and prosperity. Hence the Supreme Soul is highly worshipworthy amongst all the living beings due to all these reasons. So from verse 1 to verse 7, the narration of God's personality, the power of yoga and the fruit of knowing this. Then from verse 8 to verse 11, the narration of the yoga of devotion along with its fruit and influence. From verse 12 to verse 18, the praise of the greatness of God and His personality and a humble request to reveal the power of yoga by Arjuna. And from verse 19 to verse 42, the narration by God Himself of His divine personality and the power of yoga. So gradually He is revealing His real identity. And then we see, He says, "I have feelings of equality towards all living beings in the world, no hatred or partiality towards anyone. But those who serve me with special loveful feelings are my friends. and I am their friend. How God becomes a friend also. That is why we hear stories of Khuda Dost. Khuda, God as a friend. And he becomes a friend and he is the most loyal friend. And he knows how to maintain a friendship on the basis of that loyalty. We human beings may be misbehaving with him, or we may not be accurately moving with that loyalty, but he is so loyal. He's such a good friend, and you can experience that friendship which is not a physical friendship. And as he said, his feelings are of equality towards all, no partiality. But it is on the basis of the worthiness of the soul to receive and the experience of his love. It depends upon how the patra is, the patra of the mind and intellect. If the patra is polluted, we do not realize his feelings of love and purity. If the patra is impure, we cannot realize him. But the more pure the patra of our mind and intellect is, as much we can realize his love and experience that. So he is impartial, but each one is able to experience on the basis of his patra. And then he says, those who are utterly cruel but have a faithful intellect and come in my protection with special loveful feelings, do service, he is worthy to be praised as a saint. He attains the highest peace and never gets perished. Then what can be said of the religious souls, even impure souls who have cruelty, but they take the protection of God. They surrender themselves to God. They have special loveful feelings for God. And they do service. They do serve humanity. They are worthy to be praised as a saint. If they are also given such love by God, then what can be said about the religious souls, the Brahmins, yogis, Rajrishis? They are quite elevated. Thus he, Arjuna, man mana bhav madhyaji bhava, surrender your mind to me and become equal to Vishnu, madhyaji bhava. Madhyaji bhava means Brahma, Vishnu, Mahesh. These are the three gods. So in the madhya is Vishnu. So become equal to Vishnu in his qualities. So who is saying this? Is Krishna himself saying this? This shows how God is taking the support of that body and is revealing his form. And he tells him, become equal to Vishnu in his qualities. Like Vishnu, as Vishnu has that divinity, he is also 16 celestial degrees, so become like him. And how can we become like him? Man mana bhav, surrender your mind to me. The moment I surrender myself to God, the Supreme, then only I can become in my nature like Vishnu. We can divinize our sanskaras. Further he says, God, whilst revealing the secretive elevated knowledge of his creation to his loved one, Arjuna says that neither the deities nor the enlightened saints know the secret of my creation. It is so secret, gupta, rahasyamaya. Only those knowledgeable ones who are void of attachment and sins know the real form of the one who is beyond birth and rebirth, eternal, and the Lord of all the worlds. That is, they know me. Why he is saying this again and again to Arjuna? Because still Arjuna is in the bondage of attachment. And he wants to liberate him only from that bondage of attachment of his own near and dear ones, so that he can win the battle of life. Because it is not so easy to let go of attachment. People may say, I am not at all attached to my things, materialistic, to my children, my family members. But to come out of the attachment is a very, it requires deep efforts. Then only we can come out. Otherwise, we are in an illusion at times. Oh, I am least concerned. I am least concerned about the family members and this and that. Oh, there is attachments in so many births. And to overcome all those strings is difficult. Then he says, the qualities that are existing in the human souls are the divine sanskaras bestowed by me. I have bestowed upon them through my thought power. Again he reminds him, whatever I do through my thought power, through the vibrations. That is why they are the creation of my thoughts. It is said when God had the thought of creating the world, he created through the power of his thoughts. He gave this thought to Brahma, and Brahma created the whole world through his power of thoughts. And we never understood. We were listening to this in the scriptures many times in such spiritual discourses, but we never understood or never even asked, how will Brahma create through the power of thoughts? Now we realize how through vibrations it is possible. The souls who come to know about my divinity and yoga on the basis of knowledge, they become the embodiment of yoga. With utter faith, and there is no doubt in them. All doubts are gone. So there is no doubt, and they have utter faith, and then they become the embodiment of yoga. And this form which is created of yoga, that is created through the power of thoughts, which helps them to divinize their sanskaras. And this is how the transformation takes place. And they are worthy to go into that heavenly kingdom. So first, before going to that kingdom, I need to divinize my sanskaras. And how can I divinize my sanskaras? When I understand knowledge and I become the embodiment of yoga. Constant remembrance of the Supreme. Being constantly in union, in communion with the Supreme Being. Yoga means communion. Viyoga means separation. Yoga means communion. So when I am in communion with the Supreme, I am able to catch his vibrations also. And I am able to divinize my sanskaras. And this is how when I transform, I get worthy to be in that heavenly kingdom. And then he says further, those whose mind is constantly absorbed in me, whose life is surrendered in my service, those who give knowledge to others and have knowledgeful discussions amongst themselves, experience happiness and divine bliss. Because they are utilizing their time in a worthwhile way. No breath of theirs is wasted. So when the breath, when the time, when the energy, everything is utilized in a worthwhile way, the fruit of that is happiness and divine bliss. That is the achievement. I bestow upon them the knowledge of how they can reach me. With my special blessings, I remove the reasons of their darkness of ignorance. And through the lighted lamp of knowledge, I stabilize them in their soul consciousness. So this is how we are able to stabilize ourselves in soul consciousness when we get those blessings. And for getting that blessings, we need to use our time in a worthwhile way. then he bestows us that blessings. Means we become worthy to catch his blessings. He is granting to all. But the patra should be there. And how can we become a patra for that? He has mentioned, those who constantly stay in my remembrance, those whose life is surrendered in my service, those who give knowledge to others and have knowledgeful discussion amongst themselves, they are utilizing. And they make themselves as a pure patra. This is the way to purify the self. The more I use my time in a worthwhile way, the more patrata is developed within me. And then it becomes easy for receiving his blessings, his bestowing upon the whole world. But the patrata has to be there. And then he says, Arjuna says, you are ever pure supreme soul, supreme truth, dweller of the supreme abode. You are beyond birth, highest divine power. The great rishis too support this truth. I completely believe the truth you have revealed, that your divine form cannot be understood by the deities or the devils. You are the deity of all deities, the great deity and the lord of the three worlds. Please tell me in detail about your divine prosperity and how should I contemplate on you constantly. In which forms should I remember you? So each and every one we can see in the picture. All the rishis, sages, deities, even Brahma, Vishnu and Shankar are looking towards him, are under his shelter. And everybody cannot understand that. So God speaks towards the curiosity of Arjuna. Hey Arjuna, my prosperity is unlimited. I am the knower of the beginning, middle and the end. Amongst all the souls, I am the most elevated supreme soul. Supreme does not mean in his form, but supreme in his attributes. Then God described his highest stage in 21 ways, one by one, and thus clarified the unlimited specialities of his form. So that we human beings understand accurately. So he was taking the objects of the world and comparing his personality with the speciality in that object. Where he clarifies the 21 ways and he says, amongst the light, I am like the very luminous sun. So how is his form? He is describing it. Because we human beings cannot understand that divine form. So he is comparing that it is like 1,000 suns gathered together in the sky, which is very luminous. I am like that. But it is not burning, it is not very hot. So he says, amongst the planets I am like moon, giving the feelings, soothing feelings of coolness. Amongst all mountains I am like Meru, the highest on high. Amongst all priests I am like Brahaspati. Amongst all the army commandants, I am like Kartikeya. Amongst all the water reservoirs, so comparing and getting each and every speciality from different things, so that we are able to perceive his exact form, how he is like. Amongst all the reservoirs, water reservoirs, I am like the ocean. Ocean is unlimited in qualities, unlimited in my grace. Amongst all the great saints, I am like Bhrigu. Amongst all the words, I am the divine Omkar. Amongst the immovable, I am like the Himalayas. That is the powerful form. Amongst the trees, I am like people. The people tree is such Why the praise is so much of people? Because people tree is the only tree which produces oxygen for 24 hours. No other tree can produce oxygen, and this is scientifically proved. So the one who is constant, giving nourishment to the human souls also. So amongst all the trees, I am like people. Amongst the highly achieved people, I am like Kapil. Amongst the elephants, I am like Airavat. So powerful. Amongst the weapons, I am like Vraj. Nobody can dare to harm me in any way. Amongst all humans, I am like the king, the highest on the high. Amongst all the cows, I am like the Surabhi. That is, fulfilling the desires of every human being and the needs of the human beings which are selfless. Among the devils, I am like the king of the devotees, Prahlad. So pure. Amongst the animals, I am like the lion. Lion is also said to be the king of all animals, the king of the jungle. Amongst the birds, I am like the eagle. Amongst the armed ones, I am like Ram. This is why people have misunderstood Shri Ram and the Supreme as Ram. That is why there are three Rams in this world. Beautiful saying in Hindi, I would repeat it. Ek Ram Dasrath ka beta, Dooja Ram ghat ghat mein leta, aur Teesra Ram jagat se nyara. So one Ram is the son of Dasrath, Sri Ram. Another Ram is that which is residing in all, that is Atma Ram. Atma is compared to Ram. And the one who is beyond the Supreme is also termed as Ram, because he himself has said that. So people feel that Ram is the highest amongst all. But people have misunderstood what he was trying to say, that just as Ram is full of maryadas, similarly God is also within the divine maryadas. Amongst the sages, I am like Vyasa, the knowledgeful one. I am the seed of the entire world. There is no end to my divine personality. All the prosperity, beauty and the luminous world are like a part of my form, are not my form. There is a difference between like me and me myself. So this is how we misunderstood God to be omnipresent in all this. He was comparing to make human beings understand of his divine personality, because it was very difficult for Arjuna to conceive that form, to perceive what he is like. So he had to compare or take those objects from the world through which he could understand that divine form, how it could be like. So all the 21 specialities were explained, and then it was clarified to Arjuna. And in this way, that divine form was described by the Supreme. So this is how he is revealing. So from the 7th chapter to the 13th chapter, he is revealing his form. And gradually he opens up the secret of his divine form. And finally he gives the vision. So that if in the beginning he would have given the vision, Arjuna would never have been able to understand it. So first his intellect was divinized with wisdom. The doubts were cleared. The attachment was as if draining. And he was becoming more purer and purer, becoming the real patra to absorb what the form of God is like. And then in the 11th chapter, he shows his real form. He gives the vision of His real form. So with this, we end this session here.